And welcome to episode 23 of the Mission Darts podcast. Hello, Matt, you all right?
I don't know.
Yeah.
I don't know. It's been a testing week, hasn't it? We've still got a way to go. Full disclosure, by the way, guys, we are out filming Rate My Hockey Series 3 at the moment, and this is day number 3, and...
It's not gone so well this morning, has it?
Oh.
So, as you know with Rate My Hockey, we go to places that people want us to go. They recommend
YouTube at missiondarts.com.
That's right. And so we headed over to Morecambe to two venues. One of them, which is pretty much no longer a darts venue, unfortunately, and the other one, which has decided to close because it's January. So our kind of morning schedule's been a bit changed, but to your benefit, because we're now sat here doing the podcast and we've got other places to go this afternoon, which is great. But so far, Matt, it was a long old day yesterday. I think we got some pretty good content.
Not only that, but now we've actually bought some time. So when you say we've got some good content, we've actually got some time now that we can sit down with the laptop, with a pen and paper, and we can plan what's going to happen when we get together in February, in March, and we can really make sure that we've got some great content for the viewers.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think after last night's discussion, I think we've got content till about 2027, haven't we? There's that much stuff that we've got that we want to talk about. I hear you're back playing a little bit. Maybe have a tournament coming up soon.
Yeah, so I mean, I would say back playing very loosely. I mean, I'm going to play on Monday the 20th, UK Open qualifier. As I was away last week on commentary, got back, switched the clothes over, and we're away again this week. I haven't had practice for 2 weeks. So that's not ideal going into it, but I'm going to see how the release works.
Yeah, and you might find one or two of our YouTube fans coming up and saying hello to you at that, because it is, of course, open. It's an amateur qualifier, so anybody can enter that. So maybe now they know the Edgar's going, might get a few more entries.
Yeah, I think it's full already. I think it's full.
Is it really?
256 players.
Limited it, right.
So I know a couple of people who tried getting in and they was like, how do I get in? I'm like, I think it's full. So I think the one in Wigan's not full a few weeks after. If you fancy flying the flag for Team Mission there. You played Super League, haven't you, recently?
Yeah,
wasn't the only loser this time?
No, I wasn't. I was actually man of the match. But I've looked at it, and it just doesn't work my schedule, unfortunately. As you know, I've got a young family, and that weekend, unfortunately, doesn't work for me. Otherwise, I would have gone just really for experience and catch a few stories and see a few old faces. I'm not, you know, my playing days are a long time behind me. I'm enjoying playing Super League for Longridge. I think we're second in the league, so that's just, you know, it's quite interesting,
but
isn't
that
it?
Right there, I don't know how I'm going to deal with that. No, I haven't played in a PDC arena now for 3 years.
Yeah.
So when I look at it, and in my mind I think, it's going to be nice to play on the blue ball, you know, the blue backdrop,
the
booze.
Yeah.
That's going to be really nice again to do that. But then when I was watching Q School this year, this was probably the first year I've actually looked at it and maybe missed it.
Really?
And thought I wanted to be there.
Wow.
Until I saw videos of the actual room, and they're like, this is the practice area, this is the match room. Okay. And when I saw those, instantly I was glad I wasn't there. It's weird.
Why?
Because then I think the idea of it, but I know what it looks like, and I know what that journey is. And I think you miss something sometimes. It's like an ex-partner, for example. You know, you've got an ex-partner, and you remember all the good times. Oh, I remember when we did this, remember when you did that. And then when you meet them again, you go, oh, right, yeah. I don't want an ice cream on the seafront with her anymore. Like, you know, that sort
of
thing.
Yeah, I understand. It's an interesting one, that, you know, because in the short time I was on the Pro Tour, that was my happiest place, going to a Pro Tour event. I used to love getting there early and working my way through all the boards and saying a quick hello to people and just, I don't know, I somehow just managed to get in the zone there. And a couple of guys came to watch me, a couple of friends, and they were like, you're like a different player. You're like, you're playing better than I've ever seen you play, and you're almost just a different player. It's like you've gone into a zone. So that was my most comfortable there, which is weird. Are you more comfortable on a stage? Is that more your domain?
I will say now, I never once felt nervous playing a World Championship game, a PDC Pro Tour game. The times I ever got nervous was purely when it was like, you need this win to qualify, when it was an all or nothing game. They're the nervy ones. And do you know what, right? Here's a true story. And this isn't just me that says this. You know I've got a lot of contacts within the world of darts, and I speak to a lot of people, some of those people now in the world's top 16, who say they don't get nervous at all. In fact, one of them, recent world champion, Luke Humphries, doesn't get nervous playing in that environment. But he said if he goes to play Super League, if he plays local league, and I think it's because when you're local and you play, everyone expects you 180 every shot, and everyone's expecting everything of you. And when you're there, and they're even blown away. You know what it's like. You go in your local pub, throw a few 60s. Oh, wow, look how straight you've kept them. Oh, look at the grouping. You know, so they're blown away by everything. So you're like, right, well, watch what I can do. And actually, it makes you a bit more edgy. Where when you go to something like a pro tour, you've been in the room. No one cares.
No.
No one cares who Michael Van Gerwen is. No one cares who Luke Humphries is.
No, you're all the same, aren't you, in that
no
room?
No one gives a damn. There is no reputation whatsoever. The only people who have ever had reputation is Phil Saylor. Yeah. And maybe now, Luke Littler might have a bit of aura.
Yeah. I think maybe that's why my first couple of games have gone quite well at Super League, because I have zero expectation. I've said, they've asked me to play. I've said I'll play when I can. I've gone along. It's been nice to see a few old faces. And I felt absolutely no pressure whatsoever, because I've kind of gone, well, this isn't pro standard. I'll just see what happens. I'll put a couple of hours practicing, obviously. You know, I don't want to turn up and play horrendous. And I've not felt any pressure. And it's kind of, you're right, it's the reverse to when I was playing pro and still going to Super League and expected to have, oh, here comes the pro, here comes a 90 average right here. And you're like, oh, what if I don't turn up today? You know, what if I don't play? So you might be onto something there.
So I used to play county while I was still on the pro tour. And one thing I used to play in the B.
Okay.
Because my mates was in the B.
Yeah.
And I used to like, in between games, watching a bit of soccer Saturday, few horses, we got the newspaper out, we're on Bet365 with the lads.
More relaxed.
You know, and I used to enjoy that, where I hated playing in the A because I didn't like the people that was there.
Okay.
So with that, I used to actually quite enjoy that a little bit, because that's when you turn and go, what's he doing in the B team? And like, you know, I'd get man of the match, get the 10 quid, you know, yeah, get the 10 quid.
Yeah.
And then what I did is I said, right, I'm going to continue to play until the day I lose a game. And then when I lose a game, that's it. I'm stopping. So I continued to play. And what I used to do was, like, I used to wind people up. So I used to be on Facebook winding everyone up, like, how long it had been since I last lost a match. And it went, like, 4.5 years or 5 years of me not losing a game, which is quite a lot of years. And I used to, like, I looked at things like the Blackpool Tower, and they're like, they said they were built, like, in, like, a year or something. So I used to have, like, an Edgar meter, right? And it used to be, in the time it took someone to beat me on the county stage, you could have built 4 Blackpool Towers.
Oh,
you could have built like 2.5 ships, you know, like, and
it.
Every time, like, it would go on, like, I'd just add a little bit more onto the Blackpool Tower, and I'm like, oh, it's nearly 4 Blackpool Towers, you know, like,
I used to
wind people up with that.
That's good. But getting back to what we have been doing this week, and I think, so this podcast will be going out on the 19th, and it's not going to be long now until Rate My Hockey starts. And the one thing we haven't mentioned, which we should have done at the start, is please subscribe to the new channel, because this is moving. Our podcast is moving. There's only 2 more episodes on this channel, and then it is going to the Mission Darts podcast channel, which is in, the link is in the description below. Please make sure you click that. Otherwise, 1 week, you're going to turn up expecting to see me and Matt, and you won't see anything because it won't be on this channel anymore. We've created a separate channel. But going back to where we've been this week, this series is going to kick off in February. So I know there's a lot of people excited about the new series. It's going to be different again. And I think we should give a few sneak peeks as to what towns we might have been to already. And then people get people thinking, oh, I wonder if they've been there.
Do you know what? We haven't filmed all the episodes right now. And I don't know where it was, because, I mean, I went the wrong way again, went to the wrong pub.
Already. Day 2, Edgar went the wrong way, rung up me and Andy and went, I'm outside, but you guys aren't here.
Let's say, for example, I'm not going to give away the venue, that's in the episode. Let's say, for example, it was The Bull. So I've gone to The Bull, and they've gone to The Bull. And with that, I've gone to a different one that was 35 minutes away if I use the toll bridge to cross over the sea. So that's how all I had to go round the cove, which would have took me 2 hours. So I paid the toll. I took the hit, paid the toll, crossed the bridge. And yeah,
just arrived an hour late. That's it.
Got there.
But yeah, yeah. So,
but episode two for me is maybe not the best venue, but as far as I feel as a creator, presenter on screen, I think that's our best episode so far.
So far, yeah, and we've still got lots to go. But you know, we're only halfway through.
I think episode four they could have done with a bit of a larger doorway as well. We struggled with that, didn't we, episode four?
But a few towns that we've been to so far, Matt. We've been to Stoke. Now, that's a hotbed for darts, so we literally could have gone anywhere. A few famous dart players, one or two from there that we know. Yeah. So we have been to Stoke, and we've been up the kind of the west side, the northwest. We've been around the famous St. Helens area and Warrington and Runcorn around there. And
where are we now?
Yeah, where are we now? We're in Morecambe. We're not actually doing a rainbow here as we started because we can't. But yeah, we're heading very north once we leave here. We're going, well, I say very north, certainly very north of England from here, and then over to the east side, over to the Newcastle Way, and then back down again. So there's lots of places, and we started south of Birmingham, which we've done quite a bit around Birmingham in the past.
By the way, I've just got to interrupt you here because there's a few things you're saying here that remind me of a very famous movie.
Okay.
Because you said the west side, then you said the east side, and it just reminded me of a movie. Like, east side is the best.
What was that?
You know, you don't know?
Was that Borat you were doing then?
Best.
No, I don't.
No. Okay.
No, go on.
No.
Do you know what it is?
I'll show you it later.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, good film. Good film.
Okay. Yeah, no, I'm not.
The viewers will know.
Yeah, they will. Help get in the comments.
On, yeah.
What was the film Matt was
he's
referring to?
He's showing his age.
Matt and I do have very different tastes in movies, so it could be anything, Matt. It could be absolutely anything. It could be the Hulk Hogan life story. Or it could, I don't know. Even that's a movie. I don't know. But so what else has been happening in the world of darts? Not a lot, really, other than Q School.
I was going to say, other than the qualifying school
for
the next 2 years.
Yeah, I suppose we should talk
lives.
About that a little bit.
Yeah.
6 mission players getting through, giving us a total, I believe, of 20 on the tour, which is phenomenal. 20 players on tour now. Great to see Oscar Lekuziak get through, whose darts we launched not that long ago. And talking of which, it's really not that long now until the Edgar darts finally hit the shelves.
I don't think they'll be on the shelves for long, though. They'll hit them, they'll be straight off again. Everyone's going, oh, I'll get some Edgar darts. Yeah, I'll get a set of those. So they're going to fly out, no doubt.
Do you think the pre-orders have already sold every set we've produced? Do you think that's it? Now you probably can't even get any.
Yeah, probably gone. Yeah, you'll be doing special releases, Edgar darts in gold.
Oh, okay. Okay, well, we'll see. You never know, you might get through that UK Open qualifier and then we'll see what happens from there. But yeah, Q School was interesting. We spoke about it in last week's pod. And do you know what? I've joined your camp. It needs to be seeded.
Yeah,
it's all over the place. I started looking at some of the averages and seeing people go out first round with a 95 average and seeing other players get through the third round with a 59. Yeah. I'm like, this isn't right. This isn't right.
It's too small of a sample to not be seeded.
Yeah.
If it was a larger sample, like a challenge tour over a year, then that's okay.
Yeah, yeah.
But not. It is too small of a sample. 4 days, unseeded.
Yeah.
You're not going to get your best players. The thing what people forget, and they go, oh, it needs to be fair. The people that say it needs to be fair are people that aren't good enough to get through a seeded system. Seeding, I think, is essential, or you need a larger sample. Flip it round. 4 days unseeded isn't the benefit. And I was saying, wasn't it, a professional darts corporation. And some people come up with these ideas of, oh, why don't they do this, or these open series, or that, the other. That's not what the PDC is about. The PDC is about selling the elite of the sport. There's loads of organisations for everybody. The PDC is not for everybody. Not everyone can play Premier League football, but you can play football. And it's not the Premier League's job to ensure that you've got football.
I think you nailed it with something that you said last week. I know of several people that treat the tour school as a weekend away with my mates.
Yeah.
I can play a bit of darts. I can have a few games. We're going to have a few drinks. We're going to have a jolly. We're going to see a few famous players because they're the ones that have dropped off the tour.
And should that, and should the PDC be right. catering for, no. for that representative well, over Mervyn King?
No. Tell me,
are they on the same level?
Like you said, tell me another sport where you can do that. I can't rock it up with the professional golfers next week just because I play golf. You know, I can't go and play World Championship snooker qualifier just because I can hold a cue. You have to be a certain standard and have come from a different tour, whatever, to be in that situation. And the fact that Dave and his mates can just pay their entry fee and go and rock up and potentially, you know, one of them has... I've heard it, I've seen it done. One of them has a really good day, plays their absolute best, knocks half a dozen players out, and then doesn't turn up the rest because he's gone back to work. He's got no interest in going on the tour, he just wanted a jolly. It's not right, is it?
Because essentially, if you've got £475, anyone could come.
Yes.
Auntie Shirley could go.
Yeah. There is no restriction. There is no restriction. So that can't be right.
No.
So that surely, and I'm surprised it's gone so far. Because it's not simply a case of let's take everybody's money. It's not that important, that £475 to the PDC. So I don't understand why it hasn't been looked at.
Yeah.
And maybe it's something that needs to be. Anyway, moving on.
Let's make some predictions.
Yeah.
So first question. From Chew School, I've just literally, there's a programme on the telly in the corner of my eye.
Okay.
And it's just caught my eye because that is Kevin McAllister's mum from Home Alone. That was a programme with Kevin McAllister's mum in it.
Okay. How exciting is that then?
Well, I've not seen a programme of Kevin McAllister's mum. I didn't know she did anything other than Home Alone. So, yeah, just literally completely. So that's not my prediction for 2025. In 2025, see what he has to deal with. I'm very...
Yeah, just say his mind wanders is the understatement of the century. We'll be talking about one thing and the next
right,
minute.
Before we get into predictions,
oh, okay.
I rang my friend on the way here today
okay.
because I have random thoughts and he's someone I like talk them out with.
Okay.
I was driving along and 50 birds flew past me. And I went, how do they fly?
Eh?
How do birds fly?
They flap their wings.
Yeah, but why? How can they do it but we can't?
We haven't got wings.
Yeah, but even if we had wings, we still wouldn't fly.
No, because our body is too heavy.
Yeah, but how big is their wing compared to their body? Their
big,
body's massive.
Big, like an aeroplane. There's a reason why a big jumbo jet can't have wings that are the size of a car door.
And then put it this way.
You have
big wings. You know when you're little and like you run and you try and kick
the
birds?
This is the sort of stuff on a daily basis. I've got this for a week, right? 24/7 for a week, like how do birds fly? Now, who asks that question? You know, but now he's asking it in a podcast and expecting a sensible response.
Do you know, like you see the toddler in the streets going to try and kick the birds? Birds will fly off because it's their fastest form of movement, right?
Right.
What other animals don't use their legs as their fastest form of movement? And then what other animals...
I don't quite know, because you put me right on the spot.
Exactly.
But it's not their method of transport, is it? They fly. They have legs as well,
but
so they can land.
Them. They won't run.
If they didn't have legs, they weren't able to land.
But they won't use the legs to run away. The legs
sometimes
kind of
birds
redundant.
Do. Well, have you seen a pheasant?
No.
Okay, so a pheasant will run.
Can it fly?
Sort of. Like it couldn't fly from here to Blackpool, but it can sort of. It's why people shoot them because they don't move very fast. But yeah, no, pheasants will run. A pheasant will run pretty quick, by the way. Yeah, a pheasant will run off. Have you ever seen a pheasant run?
No.
Yeah, have you not?
No.
Yeah, that's really interesting, actually. Yeah, it is. So pheasants do run, and they have wings. Well, they sort of have. Yeah, they do have wings. Yeah,
but what, they can
what,
fly.
What animal has wings but can't fly?
Well,
penguin.
And why? Why can that not fly?
Because
when I said bird...
its wings are only this big.
Yeah, but when
and
I
it weighs
bird,
just like a small
argument.
Child.
Yeah, but your argument when I said why do birds fly, you went, because it's got wings. Well, the penguin's got wings.
Yeah.
Why can't that fly? And if it can't fly, why has it got wings if it can't use them?
How do we get from predictions 2025 to why can't penguins fly? I mean, you know, it's like, it's just the randomness of the Edgarism, isn't it? It really is.
But it's a good point.
It is a great point, yeah. Please get in the comments why penguins can't fly.
And this is the biggest problem because my mind just gets so caught up with
yes,
those sort
other
of
stuff. Yeah. Of random stuff as well. Not like what am I having for tea, what clothes shall I put on. It's like, how do birds fly? You know, it's, you know, in the next why doesn't a chair get up and walk off? You know, it's stuff like that, isn't it? You know,
well,
it's
a chair can't move, can it?
Yeah. Like, yeah. Well, it's got legs.
Yeah. Oh, we started.
Yeah, we're starting now. So, yeah, these are the random thoughts that you have. So, yeah, so predictions 2025. Where do you want to start?
I've got a few more for you.
Okay.
So, expressions.
All right.
The one I really like is couldn't hit a cow's backside with a banjo. Imagine driving along and seeing someone with a banjo. Like, here we go. Oh, damn it. Done it again.
Like, yeah. Yeah, no, that's what we were just saying. My favourite is mad as a box of frogs, but I've never actually seen a box full of frogs, so I don't know how mad they are. But anyway, predictions.
I've got one more. Now, this one's not mine. This is one I've heard, but it was so got me thinking, right? If I'm driving my car, I fit into a lane, right? Into the road. I fit in that lane.
Yep.
Now, in there is me, the missus, and we've got loads of room. We're quite tightly packed in, a little bit of a central reservation to rest our arm and things like that. But if I get on a bus that fits in the same lane, it's got two, if not three, seats either side and a walkway.
Yeah. And your point is?
It fits in the same lane.
Yeah, it does. But it's like right at the edges of the lane and you're right in the middle of the lane, Matt. So there's a bit of space either side.
Six people. When you sit in your car
and you're in your lane. It doesn't morph into a small, the same space.
But when you're in your car later and you're in your lane, you think, right, this is how much room I've got. And then you look at the lane, it doesn't seem that big.
No.
And then think, could I put two more people either side and a walkway?
How do you sleep at night? I mean, literally, if these are the thoughts you're having, how do you close your eyes and your brain goes, yep, it's time for sleep
Well,
you
found out this week it doesn't.
Yeah, it doesn't.
I message at 2 o'clock in the morning, I'm still awake, there's a green light up here.
yeah. No, it is an adventure working with you, Matt. It's an absolute adventure. Oh, yeah, I knew we were doing something, yeah.
If you're still here, thank you.
Yeah, if you're still here, thanks for watching. Make sure you subscribe, because I'm sure you want to hear more of this every single week. Predictions for 2025.
So, right. First one, Q School. Who from Q School do we think is going to retain their card? One name. I'm going to go first, Daryl Pilgrim. I think he's one of those people gets better.
Oh, so you're doing a two-year prediction then? Because it's a two-year system, the talk.
Okay, we could always go best player who's going to succeed the most.
So we said predictions.
Which I think is going to be Pilgrim. Because I think he's one of those players that's been playing a good level, but as maybe, I don't want to use the word bottle, but it's the easiest one to get over what I'm trying to say. When it comes to getting over the line and get the card. Now, once he's got that, I think he's going to keep it for a good 5-6 years. I think he's going to do well. So Daryl Pilgrim, I think, for me.
Easy one for me. Cam Crabtree.
Yeah, I thought you'd say that.
Cam Crabtree. Guy's a massive talent.
Yep.
Done well on the development already. Good action, great throw, loads of bottle. Glad he's got his card. Watch out for him the next 2 years.
Same thing for me with Pilgrim, in the fact that with Crabtree, I think he's one of those that struggled to get his card, and now he's got it, it's going to take off.
Yeah, agreed. When you were saying predictions, I thought you were going to say, who's going to be newcomer of the year, which I guess is the same sort of thing, really.
It's pretty much exactly the same question.
Yeah, it is, but I was thinking on a 12-month basis rather than the 2 year for the card. I think those two names that we mentioned there, I don't think there's any problem in them keeping their card over the next 2 years. I see them being top 64, not a problem.
Let me see if I can pull the PDC awards up. The end of year PDC awards.
Have they been done now, have they? So, player of the year, I guess that's pretty easy to say who that is. I don't need you to read that one out for me.
Well, we're doing predictions, aren't we? So if I can get them up, which I've got no signal right now. Brilliant, thanks for that.
Yeah.
We'd have been able to go through it. So they have a young player of the year. That's, write it off, it's done.
Yeah. Player of the year.
Player of the year.
Then they have the player's player of the year. That's all going to be the same person.
Hmm.
A certain 17-year-old. They do have newcomer of the year.
We've both made our predictions on that already, kind of there. Okay, let's go to majors then.
Ooh, okay.
Is there going to be...
Don't forget, we've already said we've got to jump in the sea if one of the Lukes don't win the match play. I'm sure people have written that down.
Someone's screened it,
put it in the diary for July. Oh, I'm going to get Edgar and Gormore back.
Tom Daly, yeah.
Yeah.
So, do we have a Richie Edos, Mike Dedeker, dream fairy tale winner from nowhere down the rankings? I don't think we see a player outside the top 16 win a title this year on TV.
Can I be cheeky then?
Go on.
Mike Smith. he's outside the 16.
Yeah, okay.
Do you think Mike Smith's going to win one?
I think he's still capable. He's not down there because his career's on the
answered
slide.
Like a true politician.
Yeah, but he's not down at 17 because his career's on the slide. He's just down there because he was defending the World Championship money, which is overflated compared to everything else that's in the tour. So he's more than capable, more than capable. But if you want me to pick a proper outsider, outside the...
Is someone outside the top 16 going to win a major? I say no.
Yes.
You think they will?
Yes. Okay. Yeah, because I've got two or three names in mind already who might do that. I think Mike Dedeker could do it again. He's not top 16 yet.
Okay, breakthrough star of the year.
Breakthrough
star. I think there's one answer and one answer only.
Wessel Knight.
Connor Scott.
Either of them.
Yeah.
Either of them.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm happy with either of them as an answer. I think you're right. And do you know what I think it is? I think which one of those two adapts better to playing on stage?
I think Connor, he already got to that quarter final, didn't he, at the Players' Championship finals. So I think that'll be the one.
But then lost in the Worlds when I didn't expect him to. So, yeah, I think, look, we've seen it a million times. We've seen it a million times. Players have come through. The famous one for me was Terry Jenkins. I thought he was a great player back in the day, never won a major. You know, got to, was it something like 11 finals or something? Never won one. It's almost like just couldn't make that final step. Bearing in mind, Phil Taylor probably beat him in a lot of them, but it's how players, how many players, so here's a question for you. There's 128 players on the tour. How many of those 128 in a pro tour are capable of regular ton plus averages? I don't mean every time, but say 2 out of 5, they'll average a ton or a ton plus. Really? That few? Off the top of my head, I'm thinking 40.
No. No. No.
When I look at
Nittler,
those pro tours each week...
Anderson, Van Gerwen, Price, Smith...
Vessel. Who... Had 3 ton pluses on the trot and lost all 3 games.
I agree, but such a small sample. There's no evidence to suggest he can sustain.
Right.
And so what I look for is sustained data. Because we'll have peaks and troughs all the time. There'll always be a high, there'll always be a low, and I want to know what that is.
Right, well, I'll give my example is Richie Headhouse. So Richie, this year, has had a few ton plus averages. Not every time, like Littler, but a few. Now, if you do that at the right time, as he did, you win a major.
But that wasn't the question. The question was who can regularly sustain around the average. And actually, no one has.
Yeah, perhaps I phrased it wrongly. I didn't mean like all the time. So what I'm trying to get to is, I think to win a major now, you've got to be capable of putting a ton plus average in when you need it. Now, there are players on the tour that have been on the tour for a long time. And I don't think I've ever seen them average a ton plus. There's a certain left-hander that very rarely averages a ton plus that's a multiple major winner, yeah? So that's what I'm saying is, now, what you need to be able to do, you need to be a 90-plus regular, but you need to be able to have that burst of 5 legs where you go 15, 12, 12, 13, 14.
Okay, so I've...
So how many of those players are there?
You know, in my role, I'm an analyst. And within the industry, quite redeemed as an analysis, you know, so I'm quite happy with that. But anyway, so I know these numbers. I'm going to ask you, as someone who watches darts regularly, what do you need to be a top 64, 32 and 16 player, do you think, in an average, a seasonal average?
In your seasonal average, so yeah, and I don't know this stat, so
that's
I'm going off the top of my head, yeah. So I'm going to do it in reverse, so... I think to be a top 16 player, you need a yearly average of 98.
Okay, and top 32?
32, 96.
Okay.
And 64, 93. Am I anywhere near?
No.
Right, okay. No. Talk me through it.
As I expected, most people overestimate it.
Okay, yeah.
Top 64, you're looking at 90.5.
Wow.
Top 32 is 93.
Okay.
And top 16 is 95.
Wow.
So what you thought the 64 was actually top 16.
Yeah.
And this is what people do, they overestimate it. And they look at sort of like, I've heard people say, oh, you need 100 average at Q school. Nonsense. You can get through Q school 83. So the thing to remember with averages is an average is made up of how many darts you take at the board, and how many darts you can go to the board in is in blocks of three, because that's how the game's played. You have three, I have three, you have three, I have three. So it's where do you fit within that block of three in regards to the different sort of levels, and then are you closer to one end of it than the other?
Do you know what's happening now? There's about 1,000 people that have pricked their ears up that are listening to this going, I can average 90. I'm a top 64 player. That's what's happening right now.
It is, but that's the average.
Yeah.
There's a difference between, like, when I was on the tour and I was in the top 64, I had a different belief and a different thing about it. So I had the 90 average or 91 or 90 season average. And then I would play someone who plays county or plays international darts. They're averaging 88 to 92 as well, but I knew I'd always win.
Yeah, that's interesting.
And why is it you get two players who are similar ranking, similar averages, but the odds compilers go, he's 1-3.
Yeah.
But you look at the stats, they're very similar. Yeah. Stats-wise, because he's got something he doesn't, and you can see it, and you know what that is. And that's the thing. This extra fact, it's not just the stats. So, yes, you can average like a top 64 player, but doesn't make you a top 64 player. I can go down my local park and I can curl a ball into the top corner, but can I do it with a defender? Can I do it when someone's trying to tackle me and there's a goalkeeper?
Yeah.
Can I do it when that's happening and a midfielder's closing me down? Can I still do it under that time restraint of actually, I don't have as much time, I've got to do it in this one take?
Okay.
So there's all these different... Then can I do it when there's a bit of wind? Can I do it on this pitch and that pitch? You know, so there's all these different factors. And in darts, there's not as many external factors, but there are an awful lot of intrinsic things that some people just can't put aside.
Okay, so a question for you then. I have my card, I think it was 2012. When did you first get your card? Do you know what year it was?
2012.
So 2012, right, okay.
I played as a top-up in 2011, because in them days... If you finished high on the Q School Order of Merit.
Yeah, that's right. We talked about that then, didn't we? Yeah, yeah.
So I was high up. You were high up to get a full 2011, and then I got my card in 2012.
Okay, so we're going back 12 years in time, and this is a question I get asked a lot. What's the difference in averages from then to now?
Not a lot.
How much have the top 16 improved from then to now? So we're talking Phil Taylor, Adrian Lewis, Barney, all them players that were in the 16 then. If we looked at their averages then, we'd look at the top 16. Now, what is the difference? Give me a number.
I have. And actually, what's happened is two things. And I've done a very intensive research on this. And what's happened is actually the players at the bottom have gone slightly up, and the players at the top have nosedived, and the gap between the two is smaller. So if you look at a line graph, you go from here, and it actually... So we're going this way, where a lot of people think we're going
Yeah, going the other way. So,
and everyone's going up, but that's doing that.
So on that basis, then, that almost argues that we should be seeing a player from the top 64 win a major. If they're getting nearer to get... Well, we have. We've seen two in the last year.
Yeah.
So the stats would suggest that should happen again.
But I think this year, the top's going to bounce. It's going to flick back up.
Oh,
because of Luke and Luke.
Because of the two Lukes. And everybody's going to be chasing them.
Because over the last few years, the players that are high in the rankings have lost form. And we're going to lose the players that was up there without the form are coming out. They're going to be replaced by people with. So I think the seeding system and the ranking system has potentially just kept people in the top bit for longer, which has pulled down the ceiling.
Got it.
Pulled down the ceiling, lift the
floor.
The floor.
So we talked about predictions. So I want from you one player, still hasn't loaded, there's still no signal, Matt. The signal hasn't suddenly just arrived in the building and, you know.
I'm hoping that I can get it so I can show you this.
I want you to tell me...
Show you the Jeffrey.
One player that bounces back this year. We've seen lots of players, Gerwyn Price, Peter Wright, Michael Smith, James Wade, that have going in the wrong direction. which one player comes back with a vengeance in 2025 and goes, I'm not done yet?
Daryl Gurney.
Ooh, now there was a, yeah, there was a bit of a showing, wasn't there, at the end of the year?
I've been predicting it in the last 6 months, because again, I can see it in the data. That's why years ago, I said Luke Humphries will be a world champion, and I got blasted for that. People calling me out all over the place, saying I don't have a clue what I'm on about. I don't know where they've gone now, by the way. No one's ever come back to me and said, you know, oh, fair play, you got that right. I'm saying the same with Conor Scott, because the data supports it. Do you know when Andrew Gilding won the UK Open? Guess who called him as an outsider?
Wow.
That video, I can make the video live if people want to see it.
To be fair, Matt, we did both predict Gary Anderson do well in the Worlds.
Yeah, it doesn't...
You don't get them all right.
No. And the thing is, I don't look at it and think these are my predictions.
Yeah.
I just call what the data says. I'm analysing the data.
Yeah.
And the data suggests these and suggests that. The data suggests that Daryl Gurney is going to go. Now, what's letting Daryl Gurney down?
Where does he get to?
I think he can go back in the top 16.
He's been top 10, I believe.
Yeah, when he won the Grand Prix.
Yeah, yeah. Is he capable?
So, yeah, and the data suggests he is.
Okay.
His wins are better than they was when he was winning majors 2017 and 2018. The thing that's letting him down at the moment is he'll go 100 average, 105, 82.
Yeah.
And he goes out third round. And he'll beat Gerwyn Price, and he'll beat Gary Anderson. And then he'll lose to the game where you think, hey, he's got a chance here. So
what we said before is his A game is right there, but his B game isn't.
Yeah, and just that little bit of consistency to bring out that A game. Once he gets back to that, or once he can sort of... I think he's going really the right way. Daryl Gurney, for me, is the one.
Is there any way back for James Wade, or is it over?
I don't think... Anyway, back from what? Because
he's on the slide now for a couple of years.
Well, he's semi-finalist in the match play this last year.
Yeah,
he's had a great year.
Nobody remembers a semi-finalist unless you're an analyst. They remember winners and runners-up, and mainly winners.
If we're talking
about, does he ever win another major?
I think you'd be brave to suggest none.
I just feel
that there's too many events. What have we got in a year? We've got the UK Open, the Masters.
Yeah, there's plenty, and he'll be in them all, obviously.
Match play, Grand Prix, Grand Slam, Worlds, Players' Championship Finals. I'm probably missing one. European Championship
Finals?
Yeah. So we've got a minimum 8. That's surprising, no World Series or any other events that come along or may not come along. So
I go back to what I was saying before. I just don't think he's got that 105 average over 6 legs anymore that you need. So I see him doing well. I see him coming up against a Luke, an MVG, and just not being able to get over that hurdle.
Nathan Aspinall reached a quarterfinal of a world championship. The highest average he played was 88.
Yeah, but again, and then he got found out. That's what I'm saying. James will get found out before he wins it. It's very difficult to win it now without getting found out. So we might be coming out from different predictions there. I just don't see him winning another. I think he'll hang around the 25 to 1, you know, for a long time to come, because he will win a lot of games. I just don't think there's a major in him now. I think he's content, got a good family life, and he probably doesn't want to get up in the morning and do 5 hours. He'd rather be doing other things. So great shout on the Gurney, though. I didn't mention him in one of the things. For me, I don't think Gerwyn Price is done.
No.
I think he's tasted a little bit and thought, I don't like this. I don't like everybody calling me a has-been.
Obviously, though, I study data. And Gerwyn Price this year, I think off the top of my head, without reviewing it, is defending, I think, £330,000.
Wow.
Which is a large sample of his money. So unless he picks up a title, he's in danger of going out the top 16. And so he's playing the Premier League and the World Series.
And there's a really interesting one. So defending that amount of money, he could win a major this year and go down in the rankings.
It depends which one.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If he won one of the lower majors. Yeah. That's quite an interesting... That would be a story, wouldn't it?
He's got a... Gerwyn Price chip shop, isn't he, as well? Shame that can't go on the order of merit.
Yeah, you don't often hear that. You often hear ex-dart players, either bought a pub or, you know...
Let us know if you know anybody in a professional darts players world who's actually got another business. We know Chris Mason's got a pub.
Yeah.
Don't we? We know
Alan
one.
Suit is a fireman.
It's not really his business.
Yeah, he doesn't own the fire service. Yeah. I don't think he owns it yet. You know, he's got a guide dog. I don't think he owns all the guide dogs. But
so he's... Darren Price got a chip shop. He used to have a cafe. I'm not sure if he's still got the cafe or not.
But do you see him frying fish in there? That's because that's the thing. It's one thing owning it. Anybody can own a business. But is he... Do you go in on a Saturday night?
No, I don't think you're
going to go
in.
Fish and chips.
Yeah.
And he's all right, going. He put some extra salt and vinegar on there for me.
Yeah, I don't think you're going to go in.
No, you don't think he's in there.
You're not going out, you know. You've had a few pints. The peanuts have stopped doing it for you.
Yeah.
Your mouth's getting a little bit
fancy
dry.
Fancy a fish supper.
And you think, you know what?
Just give Price here,
is it? You're going to go get a kebab. And in you go, and there he is shaving it off, you know, like...
That'd be great if he did, though, wouldn't it? You know?
Yeah, I can't see it, to be honest. I can't see it.
Whereas... There's a good chance if you walk in a pub and it's a dark player's pub, he might be there pulling you a pint.
And do you know
a good
what,
chance.
Though, right? I'm not sure he's the right advert for it either. Because, like, he's well built.
Yeah, and, he's fit as a flick.
You know, if you look at it, right, do you know, like, when... I won't name brands, but when a programme comes on the TV and it's a burger and chips and a fast food sort of establishment, which is traditionally represented by one letter, and... When you watch that advert and it's got like skinny bird in a bikini and she's sat there with the chicken burger and you go, you don't eat that. You do not eat that food that you're selling. Like, and you know, like, if she has to have a bite of it, she's like, it's coming straight out. Like, why don't they have like someone like you sat there like, oh, I love this burger actually.
Yeah, that'd be great.
Yeah,
like that'd actually be better advertising because not everybody wants to look like her, do they?
And it's relatable.
Yeah.
Like, oh, I look like Andy.
Do you think,
like,
McDonald's going to be on the phone to us now going, you're the right guys for our next...
No one said McDonald's.
For our next advert, could you guys come on, rate my McDonald's?
Ooh.
You'd enjoy that, wouldn't you?
Right, no, actually, you've just triggered off a thought here for me, right? And we probably should have done this on this trip or you're going to call me bonkers. So, one thing I've thought about doing is going... So when I'm out and about and I go to a lot of places, I want to go to different McDonald's and order a large chips and count how many chips I get and see if it's consistent or if one place gives me more chips than another. And then what's the average amount of chips you get based on like 20 different McDonald's locations.
Do you know what, mate?
Someone's going to make that. You know, there's free content for you.
Yeah, it is. That just reminds me of the guy in my local that every time he goes to the bar and they pull him a pint, he's like, could you top that up? Yeah. And I'm like, but it's full. Like, he's like, can you top it like right to the top? You know, like, and there was a time, you're probably not even old enough to remember this, when pints, they started serving them in oversized glasses with a line. Yeah. Do you remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
So that, there you go, mate, you've got a pint, it's up to the line, not fill it to the top. They seem to have disappeared.
Here's an argument I used to, so sometimes, like, especially when I was younger, you know, when I'm 13 stone of muscle and, you know, I used to love just debating things for the sake of debating things, right? So I've gone in and I used to like a cider and black.
Okay. Right?
And they charged me for the cider and then charged me extra for the blackcurrant top, so the dash of blackcurrant. And I said, how are you charging me for blackcurrant dash when I've not got a pint of cider? And actually the blackcurrant's cheaper than the cider. So, and then what I used to end up doing was I'd ask, because they wouldn't do it, they charged me for both,
right.
And I debated it loads. So I used to go in and I used to ask for a pint of cider and a shot of blackcurrant juice.
And I hope whichever landlord that was at the time is watching this podcast now and thinking, do you remember him? What a pain in the arse he was.
And I used to stand at the bar, I used to sip a little bit of it, then pour it in, then get a straw and mix it, just to, and I don't know why.
Unbelievable.
It was just unnecessarily awkward.
Unbelievable.
And yeah, I don't know why I used to do it.
Well,
I don't know why I'm sat here admitting to it. Like, it's just unnecessarily awkward.
I've got one question I want to pose to you before we wrap this one up today, Matt. It's a bit of a controversial one, which I always kind of give you. At this stage, again, I just want to remind the viewers and the listeners. Listeners, you're okay. You'll get this on your normal audio podcast every week. It's not going to change. If you like watching us on the podcast, please make sure you check out the link in the description. Get subscribed to the new Mission Darts podcast channel. My question is this. It's a long, long time since Eric Bristow won the World Championship. I'd like to hazard a guess it'll now be over 30 years ago.
Yeah.
Oh, he averaged 97.5 in that world final. How does that bear to Luke Littler winning and averaging, was it 104, I believe? Because in my eyes, round wires, smaller treble area, competition not as big, I think that compares. When people always like to talk about, was Phil better than MVG? Is Littler better than MVG or better than Phil? A lot of people watching this are too young to remember Eric Bristow. It's quite a while since he died, rest in peace. I think that 97.5 average, if you bring that to today's boards, I think that's 105.
I don't think this is something that's full-on opinion. I think this is partly opinion, partly factual. And I think the factual side of things needs to be answered before the opinion side. And we can do that in a video.
Should we do that then?
I think we should.
Okay. Factual video coming.
Subscribe.
On that very soon. Thanks for watching, guys, as always. We'll catch you next week, every Sunday for the podcast. New channel in 2 weeks' time. Make sure you're there to join us.